And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast, live from my home, not the bubble, but we are thrilled to be joined by the woman in the mask, the Phantom of Orlando. Whatever you want to call her, she is going to be a big part of your life for the next, knock on wood, 3 months. Miss Malika Andrews, how are you?
I'm so much better now that I got all of those nicknames that I can use in the future. Thank you for having me.
Are you feeling good? Are you feeling okay? Everything's smooth so far?
I am, but every time I sneeze, even if it's because a bug has literally flown up my nose and I can't get it out because it's underneath my mask, I'm like, oh no, this is the end. This is it. So definitely still hyper on edge, but I've stopped sanitizing things quite as much because I was making my hands crack. I was using so much cleaning products and sanitizer. So I'm trying to just take it down like half a notch.
Everybody has to do what they need to do to get through the next foreseeable future, however long that is. We have to start today with the news that Russell Westbrook has tested positive for the coronavirus and is not yet in Orlando with the Rockets. As this broke today, I mean, like, I'm so unfamiliar with, like, the on-the-ground logistics. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, like, did you feel it reverberating around campus? But I don't even know if that's possible. Like, can you even talk to anybody? Like, did this come up at all?
So the funny thing is I was standing socially distanced 10 feet behind Caris LeVert as he was doing his media through the Zoom monitor today as this news was coming down. And Caris was asked about it. And he said, I hadn't even heard about this. I've been on the court the entire time. So news kind of slowly trickles around. But you have to remember, one, that there are three different hotels that players are staying at. So news has to bounce from one to the next in terms of guys reacting to things. And then two, oftentimes these guys are so focused in their, one, they're playing basketball, but then two, they're out playing cornhole or doing all of these different things. They're knee deep in their video games that I know you're just watching because you're so riveted by them.
I had a great time on Twitch last night. It was great.
You're going to start playing video games before you know it. A little bit longer.
That will take me straight to divorce court. The moment a video game system appears in this house, it's all over.
I can't say that I disagree with the sentiment that that would lead you to divorce court. It can be a lot, but it takes a little bit. Sometimes these guys seem to be operating so much in their own worlds that it takes a little bit for that news to get around to all the different players, the different guys, even though they all have, you know, the news devices or cell phones in the palm of their hand most of the time.
Let's start with the obvious. Get well, Russell Westbrook. There's a tendency when a player gets this to say, well, you know, they're good. Even the news, even his releases, you know, I'm quarantining, I can't wait to get back with my teammates, whatever. We don't know what this is going to do to anybody. I know high-level athletes who have reported at the very least, it took me months, not weeks, not days, months to feel like I had my conditioning back. And so, you know, I hope Russell Westbrook is able to play Russell Westbrook basketball in, I don't know, this season. I hope so. I hope he gets well. And on a basketball note, you know, the Rockets were one of the most interesting teams to me coming into the restart. And of the teams sort of in the 3-7 group below the LA teams in the West, the one with the most unpredictable upside, the one that had the ability to just, if they hit the right gear for 2 weeks or four games over 2 weeks, they might be able to be a little bit of a problem for the LA teams. Not a favorite, but like if they hit it, and part of that was based on, we have barely seen their A lineup, which is Westbrook, Harden, Eric Gordon, Covington, and Tucker. And that's an incredibly exciting lineup. So, you know, the Rockets to me, again, it's easy to say, okay, he's going to quarantine, he'll be back. The Rockets to me now go from what I just described to a big question mark in the Western Conference.
Right. And you have to remember that, you know, James Harden also, for reasons that have been undisclosed, has not yet made the trip to Orlando. And for every Russ or every Nikola Jokic or every Kevin Durant who has tested positive and come out and say that they have tested positive for coronavirus, there's likely 4, 5, 6, 10, put a number of other stars of that caliber who have also going through this and just have not come out and say it yet. And then also, like you said, I mean, Rudy Gobert, who was one of the first NBA player to knowingly test positive for coronavirus, told a French newspaper not that long ago that he's still struggling to find his sense of smell. So even if he physically feels the basketball can potentially be up to where it was, there are other senses, other things that there's so much that we don't know about this virus and what it could mean for these players, both in their personal, just trying to walk around and smell what kind of food is going to be had, and then also the level of basketball they're going to be able to play, how it could affect their lungs long term, their hearts, all of that kind of a thing.
What I do, you know, I've been upfront about this from the beginning. Like, this is a very obviously complex issue, right? The morality of whether sports leagues should be playing now is absolutely a very complex issue, and it lends itself to yelling and screaming and oversimplifying, I think, the reality. And what I don't think, and I've said before, if you don't think the NBA should play now, I don't really have a huge quarrel with you. I think the way I've put it is, I actually think this is worth trying. But if you think it's not, I don't have a huge quarrel with you. What I don't think is really fair maybe isn't the right word. What I wouldn't do personally is use every one of these pre-Orlando positive tests as a referendum on the morality of the NBA coming back to play. Because I think it actually almost highlights the opposite, which is, I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of people, the comments coming out of Orlando seem to be of the ilk of, I feel really safe here. I actually feel like I'm safer than I would be in my regular life. And what I've said from the start is, I think the NBA has a chance, and all the experts I've talked to have said to me, I think the NBA has a chance to build an environment that is actually safer than outside regular life. However, that may not be the case for every player. Every player is different. There are some players who, in outside regular life, may never leave their house. And those players don't have to come to Orlando. They will not be penalized for not coming to Orlando. Maybe some of them have not come to Orlando. I don't see any evidence that what the NBA has built, and I've said this pre-Orlando many times, it is less safe than regular life in general. And so I'm still okay with the NBA trying this. Obviously, if it becomes less safe, if players begin to get infected and then 5-on-5 basketball becomes a super spreading kind of event, and in that case, I would hope and expect that the NBA would shut it down and just say it isn't as safe. Now, if you want to use every positive test outside of Orlando as a referendum for anything, I don't think it's Orlando. I think it's the danger of, what does pro sports look like next season? What it really highlights to me is the danger of going back into a world where players are checking into hotels, where there's more media at games, where maybe at some point down the line, are we letting fans in too early? That's what it highlights to me. But I remain unconvinced that what the NBA is trying to do here is somehow somehow a violation of some kind of moral code. And sort of on top of that, like, people sometimes forget, like, the players had to approve this, and they did, and they're getting half the money that comes from it. So this is a very complicated issue. If you don't think the NBA should play, I don't have a quarrel with you. It's dangerous. It's scary. The virus is dangerous. I just don't think that every one of these pre-Orlando cases is like some sort of piece of evidence in favor of that argument.
Right. I think the NBA has said, and they were very conscious, especially at the beginning of this, when less tests were available to the public, that they wouldn't want to be taking from the supply of tests that fuels and feeds and is needed by the general American public. And the point where I would think that things would also potentially need to be evaluated is if, for some reason right now, we are still under, as a nation, where we should be in terms of testing and tracing. If for some reason that shortage pops up again and we in this bubble are able to get tested every single day when there is another shortage of testing, then that could potentially be a problem. But right now, the NBA is pooling from a different group of tests. They're not using the test that necessarily could be procured by any person walking down the street. So I think that's also in the morality conversation, is how many tests and usage of that is moral. And that's going to be something that, as we see the government make different rules and regulations surrounding access to testing, that could come up again.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because even that is a complex issue. You know, Jeff Zilgit co-wrote today a really good story in USA Today about that specific issue. And epidemiologists are all over the place. Like, it's unclear if the NBA, it's unclear if sports leagues are really cutting the line. It's unclear if and when this becomes an issue. And again, if it does become an issue, if it does become clear that the NBA is cutting the line and going in front of people who urgently need these tests, then again, it's on the NBA to shut it down. And that becomes the right thing to do. But even that is a complex issue. I have heard that test turnaround time in the bubble is within 24 hours. It's fast.
There have been days, and it varies day to day, but there are days, especially when there are less people here, if you go early in the morning, I've gotten my test back on the short end in 8 hours the first couple of days I'm here, and certainly within 24. And the way that it comes in is they have your email. So they email you and say, hey, you have your test results, and you can go now. I go in and see, I have a string of 13 negative COVID test results. There is no other place other than professional sports that has that sort of access and turnaround time. That's absolutely true. Whereas I've seen for people who are just getting their COVID tests at a general doctor's office, it's taking a week, sometimes 3 or 4 days, if you're lucky in states like New York, on the longer time, a week or 8 days to get those results back. It's been at the speed of light.
So I am so excited to have you on this podcast, because I spent the entire weekend talking to people who are in the bubble. And what's interesting about this is, like, normally I ask, I hope, like, good basketball questions or good reporter questions.
The best.
I found myself over the weekend asking people in the bubble, like, the dumbest, most basic questions. Like, is there someone next door to you? Does the food just arrive at your room? How long is the walk to practice? Like, I'm just obsessed with every detail of this. So, how are you getting your food?
So now that I've cleared quarantine, I get to go. There is our hotel and the hotel that some of the teams are staying at are connected by, like, an extended hallway / large lobby area. And in that lobby, there is a enclosure, if you will, that has food in it that's grab and go. And in that area, there's snacks 24 hours a day. But if you wanted to go in for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, there's a range of 3 hours in the morning where you can go and get your food there. And they have a bunch of options that you can get, whether it's bacon, sausage, oatmeal. You know, some days it's waffles, some days it's pancakes. I'm not saying it's always the freshest or the least soggy waffles or pancakes, but all of that is in there. So that's one option. Another option is there is a restaurant that is kind of a Mexican pub fusion food that is right across from that enclosure, and players have really taken to that restaurant. I see folks eating there all the time. That seems to be their favorite place.
Are the Nuggets at your hotel?
Yes.
Because I was talking to somebody. I was talking to someone with the Nuggets last night, and they were saying, I'm actually having dinner at a sports bar, like a pub. Yes. And I was like, really? This sounds shockingly normal.
Yeah, I see the Clippers there all the time. Groups of 4 or 5 players will go there. But the problem with that place is that I've heard many times from the players is it doesn't open until 5 p.m. So oftentimes up until 5 p.m., and they probably had to practice most teams before that point, they'll have to go to their individual food rooms to pick up grab-and-go stuff like we do in the media grab-and-go room. Each team has their own meeting grab and go food area. And then on top of that, you have the option to order room service. There are menus in your room, and you can order all the usual suspects: chicken sandwich, burger, fries, salad, whatever. There are a handful of restaurants on campus I have yet to find, because I don't believe they are open yet. And then there are a handful of pre-approved restaurants you can order takeout from for delivery off campus that is through the app that the league has put together. And those restaurants have to be compliant with the league's safety protocols if you want to order food from there.
So is that app just like a picture of Tillman Fertitta's face giving you like a thumbs up?
A thumbs up, exactly. And saying to go get some of the Bubba shrimp. No, but it should be.
It's funny you mentioned the 5 p.m. thing because I've heard from a couple of players. Room service at their hotel is 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. They're like, that's great. It just means that I'm at the mercy of my team meeting room lunch. And if the lunch is bad, I don't have any other choice. I got to eat the bad lunch.
And initially, I actually defended the food. There were some meatballs that I think I've been quoted like 3 times raving about because they were worryingly good for vegetarian meatballs. And I'm convinced that they weren't in fact vegetarian. But I do think that now that they're having to process more food, it's very sometimes hit and miss with some of the meals. There are some times that I really enjoy it, sometimes that I don't. But my trick has been when the salmon comes, because I like the salmon, I take like 2 or 3 and then I'll put it in my salad the next day for lunch so that I know if it's not something I like, kind of trying to get the hacks down here.
So let me ask you a very stupid question. Go. Because when I'm on the road, I live for the side chats, the post-game beers with coaches or players, the coffees, the lunches. So the stupid question is like that Mexican pub or whatever common spaces there are you guys in the media allowed to be there with the players? Okay.
The short answer is yes. I assume that, you know, certain teams or players probably wouldn't welcome that as much as others. But yeah, I've gone and ordered. I usually have been ordering takeout because I'm nervous to take my mask off even to eat in public. But I'll go in there and I'll chat with players or coaches while they're eating their food and I'm waiting for mine. It's all very much intermixed. I've also seen, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Kyle Kuzma wander through the media dining room area to see if we had better food than they had to offer.
That's promising because in my mind, the media was just going to be like quarantined in their like media JV area. Like you can't go anywhere near anybody in the NBA. Okay. That's good. Could you have gone to like the DJ, whatever events that nobody went to a couple nights ago?
So I went, I accidentally stumbled across it. I went on a walk around the property and I started hearing this ns. And then I saw like purple light coming out of the top of a fake tiki tower with fake fire coming out of the top of it. So I peeked my head through the hedges and saw that there was a DJ and a party. But no, that pool that party was at is a player's only pool. So I kept it moving. There's a separate pool. If we want to go swimming, we have other options. But the league staff isn't even allowed to use that pool. That pool is just for the players. So I've heard GMs say that they've wandered over there only to have to go to one of the smaller pools because they're not a player.
Do you have a balcony in your room?
I barely have a window. Okay. So no, I don't. And also the rooms here, they open out into the outside. It's mm-hmm. not like you walk into a hallway.
Oh,
they
I
open
see.
Up into the outside directly. So I am on the first floor. So I open up straight into like a water, kind of like a small fountain is what it looks like outside of my hotel room.
What is the how many Disney or non-NBA staff do you see around? What are they wearing in terms of protective equipment? Like who's around?
So I see housekeeping around and I see the folks because there's always a rotating group of people in quarantine right now. It's the media members and league staff who arrived over the weekend. I see folks, they're wearing these salmon button-down uniforms that are walking around to deliver food, to, if you don't have your Do Not Disturb sign on, to ask if you would like to have your room cleaned. Those are the folks I see most often. And then I kind of call them mall cop security because they're not actually league security, nor are they police officers. But there is an abundance of them on campus walking around in their blue uniforms. And in terms of protective gear, most of them are wearing face shields, like clear plastic face shields in addition to their masks. And usually when I walk past them, all of them are overly friendly. Say good morning every time I walk by, which is a New Yorker, well, current New Yorker is strange. And then they step completely off of the path. that I am on to go out of their way to get out of my way.
One player told me when they see me coming, it's like they back against the wall as if I'm going to mug them in the hallway.
Exactly. Although I was walking behind J.R. Smith today when he was walking back to his hotel and he got stopped by one of the mall cops because he wasn't wearing his lanyard. So they will stop you if you're not wearing PPE or your identifying credential. But other than that, yeah, they blend in with the wall if they could.
J.R. is in the house. I'm glad you brought up J.R. Smith because when Avery Bradley opted out of Orlando, and again, by the way, I support any player, anybody making any decision they want for any reason. This is a hugely complicated and dangerous and whatever situation. Scary. I shouldn't say dangerous, but scary. I said on TV and on this podcast, there was a lot of snickering about, oh, they don't need Avery Bradley, they're fine. And what I kept saying was, that may be true if everybody remains healthy. Sure, you can fill the Avery Bradley void with more KCP, more Caruso, blah blah blah. Well, guess what? I said their margin for error, whether it's injury, COVID, whatever, got a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Rajon Rondo injured his hand. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Their margin for error is now smaller, and you're going to get into the pool of J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters pretty very fast. Good. And if Rondo, let's say Rondo's out longer than 6 to 8 weeks. Now, he's been a fast healer before, but without Rondo and without Bradley, again, two guys who have been snickered at a lot for allegedly not helping the Lakers as much as other players on the team, and with some justification, sometimes not, your options for Anthony Davis at center lineups, which they're going to need those lineups to win the championship. They're an important part of the team. Your options are now, you just have fewer five-man options. More of them are going to involve Kuzma, and those lineups have been great. They're just a little big, but they've been great. More of them might involve Markieff Morris, who just hasn't been a good NBA player in a long time now. So your margin for error is down to zero, or close to zero with the backcourt, but that's neither here nor there. When you talk to people, players, coaches, staff, the first 48 hours are over, okay? This kind of culture shock is over. The quarantine is over. The food arriving and at your door, all that stuff. What's the vibe now? Is there a sense that people are starting to get used to it? Is there still a lot of griping about the food or whatever? Like, what's the vibe?
There is a sense that people are starting to settle in a little bit. First of all, the first couple of days, I just saw a lot of players, staff wandering around seemingly aimlessly because they couldn't figure out where something was or how they were supposed to get there. There was a lot of folks taking photos of the maps that they would walk by because it is a big place, even though it's a small corner of you know, Disney World. It's a large property. So I think in terms of getting their bearings and starting to settle in, that has already started to happen. And I think playing basketball helps with that, right? Like, that's something that the basketball looks the same. While the protocols around it look very different, they're actually able to now get in the gym, on the court. And for a lot of those guys, it's their comfort space. I wouldn't say by any stretch of the imagination that they have gotten used to the fact that they are away from their families. I don't think that stings any less. But I do think guys are starting to get a little bit of the lay of the land. But we're in this weird in between now because it's still new enough that things are interesting and guys are focused and wanting to learn and share and snap pictures of food. But we haven't. But they're more comfortable. So we will eventually. My curiosity is when we're going to get to the point where it's no longer novel and some of the things that were once amusing and uncomfortable just become plain uncomfortable.
So a couple of things jumping off that. The phrase dog days has been used to me by multiple executives, meaning this. Teams don't play scrimmages till the 22nd, which is 9 days away. And then the real games don't start till what, the 30th or the 31st?
30th,
So in terms of everyone following the rules and stuff, that period of time from like maybe in 5 days until the 31st is what people are kind of like, are people going to get tired of it before the games start, and those are going to be the dog days. We'll see. But to your point about getting accustomed to it, Stephen A. on First Take last week gave voice to what I would say is a sentiment that I have heard from a lot of people within the league for the last 2 months. And he had a cheeky 3-minute monologue about women and socializing. And I've heard that from a lot of that's been the go-to snickering thing for lots of people within the league. My take is, and I've said the phrase, maybe I'm being naive, to like 40 people on the phone in the last 2 weeks. But maybe I'm being naive. But I actually think players, coaches, staff, whatever, human beings are incredibly adaptive and incredibly resilient. Like, just life bears this out every day. And I actually think and hope that as everyone gets used to this and as the games start, people are going to be like, you know what? I can do it. It's not so bad. Like, the weather's good. I can fish. I can golf. I can play video games. Yeah, certain things about it suck. It's not what I'm used to. I'm practicing at 7 o'clock at night sometimes. That's weird. The room service, blah, blah. Like, I think maybe I'm being naive. Maybe I should change the name of this podcast to Maybe I'm Being Naive. Maybe I'm being naive. I think players will get used to it. And particularly if you can get through the first round of the playoffs,
right?
Then you're down to 8 teams, all of whom are good, all of whom can talk themselves into like, I'm a breakaway from the finals. Some teams are better than that, right? But some teams are, I'm a breakaway from the finals. The light's at the end of the tunnel. I have faith in the adaptability of human beings, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and I think that if you can get to that point too, one, you know, and I've heard it from Milwaukee, from the Lakers, from the Clippers, I'm citing those as 3 teams that you can tell they feel they have a real shot here and they're motivated to try to do everything they can on their, of what's in their control to try to get to a finals because they want to play for it. They really feel they have something to play for. If you can get to the, when you're talking about, when a couple teams have been eliminated, that's when players can start having their families, their significant others, their girlfriends, their partners, in the bubble with them. And so by that time, it should get a little bit easier for them. It's just about making it to that point. But what I will say, just walking around, you can't go anywhere around campus without getting stopped. Certainly you could be able to leave, but getting back in, having someone get into the bubble would be a challenging feat. And maybe I'm being naive because I'm walking in and out of the entrances where there are security guards. There might be some back staircase that I'm not aware of, but there is just so many of those mall cop-esque folks. There are so many people who are asking you to scan your bands, check your IDs. They're even stopping players who aren't wearing their lanyards, which just makes it hard for me to envision how the bubble could be penetrated versus somebody leaving and then coming back.
Yeah, we're about to pass the window. You know, there's a lot of debate about when this window is, but we're about to pass the window where if people keep testing negative, that means no one has brought it with them from their home markets to Orlando. We're about to hit that window at some point, which is a huge milestone for the league to hit if and when they hit it. Other than that, you're talking about players getting out and the danger of some, not players, anyone getting out. And again, A, I have faith in the adaptability of human beings and the resiliency of human beings. And B, I heard from so many people this weekend that were like, Zach, even if I wanted to get out, I don't know how I could do it. It's not like I can call my hotel is like miles from any exit of this premises. It's not like I can call an Uber to come get me. Like I don't even know how I would do it. So we'll see. But I have faith, Malik. And the hotels are like far from each other. Like, teams have told me it was like a 10-minute drive for us to get to our practice site.
Yeah, and the bus drivers have to be tested. They're assigning bus drivers to drive the same teams around, so they're not having that extra contact with more people than they need to have contact with. There are gates when you try to drive in that even when I came with a staff-approved vehicle to initially get in, had to roll down the window, had to say who you had in the car, had to say why you were there. All of those things have to be done in order to just get within the driveway that gets to the hotel. Not even get in the hotel, just the driveway.
I'm glad you brought up the bus drivers, because, you know, that's something I reported from the beginning in a piece I wrote like now probably 6 weeks ago about what this was going to look like. You know, there was a lot of very justified wondering, well, why aren't the Disney employees getting tested? Is that dangerous? And I think the NBA and all the epidemiologists I interviewed agreed, like, they've done as good a job as possible limiting contact between those Disney employees who are not getting tested and NBA staff. But there was always going to be a subset of whether they were Disney employees or third-party employees, and in this case, they're third-party employees, who were going to be subject to some testing, with the goal of those being the people who see the players the most. And bus drivers, I don't know who the vendor is, but the bus drivers are getting tested. Do we know how frequently or no?
They're getting tested. They were getting tested every day. In fact, the bus driver that I had initially, so when I got to campus, I had to stay for the first three nights at an off-location hotel because this hotel wasn't even open yet. And so for those 3 days, we had to actually be bused to the yacht club where several teams are staying to get tested there. And on the bus, we were driven by two drivers, one very chatty, lovely man who is the Clippers driver for the duration of when they are here in Orlando. And that driver said that he has to get tested every day. And even on his off days, they're paying him for 4 hours to come in to make that time to go get tested, even if he's not driving that day.
I think he should get a ring if the Clippers win. And I'm not even joking. I think that guy should get a ring. I'm not joking.
I can see it. They have the tiers of rings too. He should absolutely be getting at least one of the, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't get the good one, but he gets a ring. Absolutely. The other thing I will say is if I were an agent of any player that was like the eighth best player on a team or down, what I would be saying to that player is, my man, I don't really care if you want to get out, if you're getting antsy. If you are the one who goes out and somehow brings this back in, now I don't even know if it's possible because I guess you have to quarantine for 10 days in a row when you get back in. So I don't even know if there would be any lag time when someone goes out and is in the campus publicly without being quarantined. But if I were an agent, I was thinking, if you're the guy, eighth, ninth, 10th guy, and you bring it back in and this thing ends up spreading and the bubble collapses because of you, you are done forever. No one is ever signing you again. Your career is over. So please just do what you're supposed to do.
The rules. And this isn't about me, but I've just said, you know, I'm not trying to be the first domino. That's when people say, how do you, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying to be as distanced, wear my mask, my gloves as possible, because the thing is so contagious. I just don't want to be the first domino. And I would think that players, they feel the exact same way, because it will get out. It will be known. And if the bubble collapses because of it, that person would feel, I would imagine, pretty horrible. Aside from, you know, what their intentions were initially, I think they would feel pretty dang bad if they came back and the whole bubble collapsed because they needed to go out for a little bit.
How have practices been, and how are you getting to practices?
Our friends with Mears, the Mears bus drivers, we drive in these enormous charter buses that say Disney Cruise Line on the side and have Mickey Mouse on them. And we take those buses to one of the practice sites. Now, there are four practice courts actually in the hotel that I'm staying in. And teams that aren't staying in this hotel still sometimes are scheduled to come through and practice on those courts. So it's a 4-minute walk from my room to get to those actual practices. It's a 5 to 10 minute drive to get to the other practice sites. And that is done in these vans that leave at these scheduled times. And in order to get in the van, you have to have entered your pulse oximeter reading and your thermometer into an app that the league created that then correlates with your magic band that you have to wear at all times. And on the way out the door, you have to scan your magic band. And if it lights up green, that means the information you put in is congruent with being healthy and you're free to get on the bus at a social distance place. They have signs at every other seat on the bus saying, please do not sit here, because they don't want any two people to be next to each other, which is kind of funny because right now there's only 4 or 5 people on any given bus at any given time. And the actual practices, the basketball looks similar. It's the protocols surrounding it that are different. So yesterday I was at the Dallas Mavericks practice and the trainers were wearing blue gloves and wiping balls down with Clorox wipes between drills. There are seats that are set up around the outside of the court that are all 6 feet apart that the players have to sit in after they go play, which is funny because they were all just up in each other's faces and sweating on each other when they were playing. But the minute they get off the court, they have to sit down. There's guys who are confused if they need to. They don't have to wear a mask during practice, but I've heard them say, hey, I need to use the bathroom. It's across the hall. Do I have to put my mask on or can I leave it off? Some guys say you can leave it off. Some guys say you put it on. But that's what practice looks like. And there's always PR staff walking around to the different coaches saying, hey, your mask is around your chin. Do you need it there right now or can you put it over your face?
From what I've heard, I mean, you're there, but just in talking to the select people that I've been able to get in touch with, there's definite rust, as you would expect. But most teams that I've talked to, people seem pretty happy to go right back into 5-on-5. Like people seem kind of like, let's get back at it.
And it's the usual suspects, the coaches that don't implore a lot of 5-on-5 in their normal practices. I'm thinking Mike Budenholzer with the Milwaukee Bucks, who aren't rushing back into 5-on-5 now. But I mean, you got to remember, some of these guys had their practice facilities closed in their respective home markets after they had positive COVID tests. They've had a layoff since March. They want to get back on the court, even if it means hand sanitizer, masks, having trainers have to hand them their own tape sometimes, like different things like that. Even if it means all of that, they are happy to be back out there.
Well, Malika, you've got other things to do because you're holding it down for all of us in Orlando. I appreciate you making a little time for us. Stay safe. Keep up the great work. I would tell people where they can find you, but they're just going to see you. You're going to be like the person on the airport television where there's like 100 of you. You're going to be everywhere. So keep up the great work and stay safe out there.
No one needs 100 of me. I appreciate you, Zach.
You know that instant confidence boost you get from an outfit that makes you look really good. That's what you'll get with Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a stylist who understands your style, size, and budget, and they do all the shopping for you. It's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season. You got to update your wardrobe for every season. Even I know that. Just give the stylist your size, style, and budget preferences. Order boxes when you want, how you want, no subscription required. And they send 5 just for you pieces, plus outfit recommendations and pro styling advice. You keep what works and then send back the rest. Your stylist sends just right pieces and the fit is always on point. It's like they have style ESP. You'll be shocked at how they do it. Stitch Fix makes it all so easy. If you don't like to shop, they save you all the time and effort. That sounds great to me. Plus, you get outfits that make you look really good and feel really good. And if you don't love something, you just send it back. Shipping, returns, exchanges, all free. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/low. That's stitchfix.com/low. L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast, stitchfix.com/low. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because of the eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Low Post fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite The Low Post episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like First Take and Pardon the Interruption ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/low. That's amazon.com/low to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes! Catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing
on your roof. So who's there up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, watch out for them, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Now I'm very excited to be joined for the first time ever on the Low Post podcast, but by someone that I can comfortably call one of the breakout stars of the bubble 2020, Miami Heat starting center, ace three-point shooter, hair styling aficionado. I don't know. Myers Leonard, how are you?
Zach, I'm good. Thank you for having me, number one. And I'm doing well, man. You know, the bubble has been an interesting experience, but to be honest with you, it's not really that difficult to me. You know, we're here to do one job, and we have one goal, and that's to win a championship. And it's different for me here in Miami. You know, I didn't really have a role in Portland. I did my best to continue to work through each situation, but I've started every game here in Miami, and it's been very special to me. So I'm grinding and ready to go.
I feel like part of the Portland, it became Portland tradition that by the end of Portland's playoff run, you would be in the rotation and playing really well. And everyone would be like, whoa, Myers Leonard had 30 tonight against the Warriors? Where did that come from? And like the Memphis series a few years before that, like always, like break in case of emergency playoff, Myers Leonard would always come through.
You know, I wouldn't change my entire NBA career, for that matter, anything. I wouldn't change anything. It's given me real life experience as a man and as a player. And I believe that's what's allowed me to excel here in Miami. You know, a lot of ups and downs, continuing to work behind the scenes, jump shots, film, weight room, cardio and conditioning, you name it. And I just wanted to stay ready. And luckily I did that. And I think that's a big reason why Miami wanted to trade for me this offseason. I knew they had their eye on me for a couple of years, but I think that performance, I guess you'd say, in the playoffs allowed them to say, like, all right, time to pull the trigger. Let's go get that guy. So,
you're also, speaking of Portland and happy vibes from Portland, you are also, like many players, a Damian Lillard true believer. Like that there's something special about that dude, the leadership, the culture setting, all that stuff is legit, right? Like that's not people blowing smoke.
It's not blowing smoke at all. You know, similarly to how I would talk about Jimmy and leadership and every day, the physical component of putting the work in, the leadership with their voices and how they can really get guys focused and practicing hard and focused again on one goal, which is winning. Damian Lillard is the truth. He absolutely is. He's a family man. He's loyal, great teammate, continually pushing everyone in the right direction. And obviously his performances speak for themselves, you know, the shots and everything.
I think when I was in Portland a couple seasons ago, I think you were the one who told me this story about how Dame once overheard. It's one of these stories that stuck with me. Dame once overheard an unnamed Blazer kind of like moaning a little bit about playing time in the locker room and trying to start a conversation about like, well, I think I should be getting more minutes than that guy. And he just came up to it just calmly and was like, we're not about that here. Like, you know, like that conversation. And I thought that was very telling because, you know, as a player, like those whispers start in one corner of the locker room. Like that's like step one toward a bigger, like unspoken rivalry problem. And like for him to hear it and be like, no, we just like you earn your playing time. You respect what the coach says and we play. That's it.
Absolutely. And again, he's total package, man. He like you're talking about this one specific instance. I'm proud to say that I was a part, I believe, of building that culture. Although I wasn't playing a ton, I do feel as though every day I was a true professional and doing my piece in the locker room and on the floor. And, you know, that's just what it was. You show up, you're a true pro, you work hard, and when it's time to compete in the games, you play your role. And so, you know, that was a cool moment, but definitely a real thing.
Well, one part of your role, I think you lead the league in being the loudest talker on defense in the entire NBA. I feel like you're in my house when I'm watching Miami Heat games on League Pass. Like, I can hear everything you're saying, all the instruction. I know you take pride in that. I'm not making fun of you. Like, the communicating on the back line is important, but you have taken it to a whole – like, I can hear everything.
You know what, Zach? That's been probably the biggest progression for me in my career. I've always been a pretty good communicator, not this loud or this, you know, having this much of an impactful role. But if you look at the Miami Heat, for example, Jimmy and Bam are elite defenders. I mean, they're in the gaps. They can plug a gap and close out to the three, keep their guy in front of them and just make things happen. My job, and I knew coming in that I had, when I saw the roster and I had been traded to Miami, I think everyone wondered, well, is he going to play? Is he going to be a rotation player? What's going to happen? I was chomping it. I was ready. First of all, I was ready for Heat culture. I couldn't wait.
Hashtag Heat culture.
Exactly. And then I knew, like, all right, this is something I'm already good at. I want to be like the quarterback of the defense. You know, I'm the back line. I'm certainly vastly improved as an individual defender, but I don't mind being the guy that's just kind of the glue. It's okay to me. And I also don't mind boxing out the five every single play, letting Bam come flying and get the rebound so we can take off in transition. I don't care about stats. Some people do. Some people don't. Trust me, I'm one that doesn't. And it helps our team because it allows for everyone else to excel, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're like 4 days into the bubble. Okay, day one was like Troy Daniels tweets a photo of the appetizer and NBA outrage Twitter immediately goes crazy, not even taking the 5 seconds to realize that it's just the appetizer, it's not the actual meal. Now you guys have settled in, you're past the 48-hour mandatory, like you can't leave your room, whoops, Bruno Caboclo stage of the quarantine. You're in a rhythm, you know, like where your meal room is, how long the walk is from the hotel to the meal. You can socialize with guys from other teams if you want that are staying in your hotel. So what's the vibe? I mean, you're close with all your teammates, obviously guys on other teams. Like now that it's settled in, what's the vibe? What's the gripe that maybe still remains that some players have, and what have guys already kind of gotten used to? Like what's the chit chat?
Got it. Okay, so I'll start with myself first, and I'll just say that I don't need much. I think it's just fine. My room is plenty big. Everything is literally organized the way I want it. The bed is fine. The food, now, for me, nutritionally, I am very dialed. So that admittedly has been a little bit difficult for me. I've eaten like 900 level bars already, which, yes, it is my wife and I's company, but they're very healthy and very good for you. And tastes good. So that's the piece where I think starting yesterday, we could order like Del Frisco's, Joe's, different places and have it ordered in. And then it's
brought. Tillman Fertitta Inc., owns most of those places. And that's out of pocket, correct?
Yes.
Can I just say, you can stay silent for this. You don't have to say anything. That is such a bad look for the NBA to be like, here's the list. Just FYI, they're all owned by the owner of the Houston Rockets. You can just Venmo him money if you want, Myers. Okay, leave that aside. Continue with the food stuff.
Yeah, so for me personally, that's going to be big. Being able to order like a steak and salmon and different things that I'm accustomed to. That's the only thing that's been tough for me. Now, the meals that we were getting actually aren't that bad. Like, seriously, they are just fine. Now, some of them have dairy, some of them have gluten, which are things I'm not supposed to be eating. So that's the hard part for me. But outside of that, it seems like everyone's having a pretty good vibe with the bubble so far. Now, when we get 3 weeks in, a month in, 2 months in some of these teams, then maybe you're going to start to see, you know, I'm away from my family. I'm used to being, you know, I'm on the road all the time, but at least every now and then I'm back at home in my own bed. You know, for me personally, the last thing would be my wife and my dog. You know, I love them dearly, and it's going to be tough. But again, let me just say this, and I said this to Heat Media the other day. Zach, I get paid millions of dollars to play basketball. There's plenty of people taking care of, you know, people with COVID and teaching young kids. And my brother did 2 tours in Afghanistan, and I'm very close with a bunch of Navy SEALs who had some of the most insane operations on the face of the planet. Like, I have nothing to complain about, man. You know, there are people out there doing what they do. Honestly, when I talk to some of those SEALs, like, no, I love doing it because I love watching sports, and therefore, you know, thank you for what you do. And I'm okay, just thinking to myself, like, holy,
that's you. Selfless. That's you. What do you sense your teammates are are also getting used to it? Because you have you have teammates that run the spectrum. You have like Jimmy Butler, alpha superstar, max contract, to Duncan Robinson, like dude was doing post-grad at Exeter a few years ago and is now in the NBA. So what's the vibe amongst those guys?
Great question. It seems good. And let me just say this, as we said earlier, heat culture, it's very real. I always wondered about heat culture, you know, when you're not on the inside, you know. I think that there's an understanding that, yeah, there's going to be some bumps along the way, but guys are ready to compete and have one goal in mind, and that's championship. And so, you know, it's a couple people have talked about our Heat meal room. They did an unbelievable job. It's not just an average meal room here at the NBA bubble. They literally covered it with all of our family's photos. And so there's two pictures of my wife and I and a picture of my brother and I. Then everybody else, you know, Jimmy's got a picture up there, plenty of them, and pictures of us playing. So it just feels more homey, basically. But, you know, there's plenty of things to do. Like, Dre loves to golf, so I'm pretty sure he's been on the course at least once or twice. You know, I think Kelly and Duncan plan on playing golf with him. You know, you see all these things about guys out and about fishing and doing different things. Listen, the truth of the matter is everyone's doing their best. And the NBA and the Player Association have done an unbelievable job setting us up for success in the current state. Listen, we're spoiled as is. Make no mistake about it. So we just need to overcome the situation and do our jobs. Pretty simple.
How did you end up shotgunning at Coors Light yesterday?
Okay, so first of all, it was a little rusty. Now everyone's going to say, oh, Myron, stop that. No, I come from the stick, Zach, okay? Coors Light is, you know, that's easy money for me. Make no mistake, 2.6 was a little slow. But I saw JJ's shotgun, and I thought to myself, I'm a little bored in the bubble, I guess, outside of streaming and practicing. Let me just go ahead and put my stake in the ground here, and we'll see what happens. So I got my Coors, and I
shot. How did you obtain the Coors? You just go, you just call the lobby, and be like, I want specifically, I want the worst beer you have. Bring me a six pack of the worst beer you've got.
Would you stop? All right. Well, first of all, people thought it was hilarious when I ordered Coors Light on room service the first night I was here. They thought it was hysterical. So that's where that started, number one. And then number two, I saw JJ's post. And so I talked to – we do have the access to Disney 24-hour concierge. So I called them and I said, hey, I need some Coors Light 12-ounce cans. Can you do that for me? They said, yeah. They called me back and like, hey, they only have bottles. I said, no, it's not going to work. I need a shotgun. They literally laughed at me on the phone and said, all right, we'll figure it out. So they ended up delivering the beer, and there we have it.
Is shotgunning a real beer? Is that a waste of real beer? Is that why you shouldn't do it? It's a waste, right? You wouldn't shotgun a great beer.
Listen to me. First of all, no one's smoking me, period. Secondly, I can Stella Artois, Mr. High Level beer drinker Zach Lowe.
Well, easy. Let's take it easy a little bit. Stella's all right. I'm just saying, but you should. I get why people are shotgunning Bud Light. I think JJ did a Bud Light in a pool in his cold tub or whatever.
Listen, I shouldn't admit this, but I once with my friends dumped 12 4-ounce cans. Four 12-ounce cans into a big-ass growler and drank it all in one breath. So, listen, nobody's competing with me. Listen, nobody's competing with me. It just is what it is. They have to accept their fate. I saw Jordan Clarkson, who I trained with in the summer, by the way. I saw his cute little comment that said, oh, okay, yeah. I said, okay, time, place, money, count on it. I'm there. So we'll see what happens.
I if the whole bubble devolves into an NBA drinking game, that's fine. That's fine for me. I have to give you credit. I was a little bored last night at 11:15-ish p.m. Eastern time. Maybe a glass of wine into my wind down period.
Love it.
And I saw you playing video games. Wait, you tweeted something. I've never been on Twitch before in my life. I know what Twitch is. I'm not that out of touch. It's like, you know what? I got nothing to do. There's no games on. I want to see what this is all about. So you're playing. What game were you playing?
I was playing Call of Duty, but particularly Warzone, which is the Battle Royale mode.
Very violent game. Very violent game. Even I was like, this is a lot. There's like a lot of dudes getting shot up. You literally, I wrote it down. You literally said the phrase, I literally shot the driver in the face and he didn't die. Those words came out of your mouth as you were. And so you're talking and I hear, you got your headset on and I hear somebody named Josh like talking a lot during the game. Like, man, this Josh guy, he's like a real leader. Real leader of men. Then I'm like, wait a second, that's Josh Hart. There are two NBA players in this game. So congratulations, you got me to watch Twitch.
Hey, I love it. You know what? That's, first of all, Josh and I have actually been on a couple of different platforms talking about this modern day two sport athlete. Look at how many guys actually have tweeted or IG'd something about gaming. It's what actually a lot of athletes enjoy doing. And so for me personally, to be able to pass some time and, you know, actually be off my feet, gaming is a great way to do it. And lastly, and the main reason I actually love Twitch is because I do love gaming, but I also love interacting with my fans. And I mean that. Some people have literally come in and said, look, I was too nervous to approach you in person, but thank you for being so real and authentic and talking with the chat. Because some people play and they don't even say nothing. I enjoy communicating just as I would, you know, at a Miami Heat event or something like that.
Have you been to any of like the common areas where you can socialize with other like what? So obviously there's the pool, right? There's outdoor dining areas, but you can golf, you can fish. Like, what have you done where you've seen people who are not members of the Heat in person?
I actually have not, which I don't know if I like to admit that, but it's the truth. I do need to get out a little bit more, but honestly, I'm so focused on getting my body back in playing shape and doing everything when it pertains to basketball and then recovery. So it's literally my room, our meal room, the practice court, and that's it. So I pretty much stream on Twitch, talk to my wife, practice, rehab, do everything I need to do, and that's it. But at some point, I will venture out and, you know, go check out the Players Lounge, which I think is on like the 16th floor of our hotel. I don't know about the other places, but they're doing a great job trying to make this as homey and, you know, give us something to do as possible.
Do you play golf or fish? Are any of these activities accessible to you?
I do. I do both of those activities, actually. I do come from a small rural farm and town, so fishing is something I did for my entire life. And, in fact, in Portland, not yet in Florida, a little different, right? You normally get on a boat and go deep sea fishing. Haven't had that chance, especially with COVID. And then golf, you know, it's funny. You see all of Josh Hart's tweets and such about how he's so frustrated. That little white ball never moves, but somehow it's the hardest damn sport there is. But I think that's why a lot of athletes turn to it, especially when they retire, is because they're constantly trying to master something, right? That's how our minds work. We're competitive. We want to continue to get better at something. And so that's why the golf course becomes a good place. And it's, you know, fun to be out there with your teammates and such. So I plan on doing both, I think, probably while I'm here.
You also call cornhole is called bags where you come from?
Absolutely. Now, obviously, bags. I'm
I like that better. I like that better, actually.
Yeah, let's get the bags out. Come on. Bags and Coors Light, baby. Come on.
What is your – everyone that plays for the Heat has a go-to Heat practice story. Like when we put the pads on and just went at it. You know, Josh Richardson's, when I had him on my pod, formerly of the Heat, he talked about how when they made him make 70 out of 100 threes, and they would not have let him leave the gym on a game day until he made 70 of 100. He made 69 of 100, and they said nope, and he threw the ball against the wall and started cursing people out, and they made him do it again. So, like, give me the best Heat practice story you got.
Oh, man. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you wonder about Heat culture. Now you start to wonder about the body fat and the conditioning test and all these different things when you're coming to Miami. Let me just tell you, the conditioning test is a monster, but it's doable. As long as you're in good shape, it's doable. Also, I've never had to worry about weight and body fat. It's something I'm very dialed with. And then one Heat story from practice. Okay, I got a good one. So right at the tail end of playing before I got hurt, which I think was maybe February 3rd. So there was about a month where the season was still going on. But right at the end of that time period, for whatever reason, let's just say a few of the guys were struggling to understand some defensive concepts. And I'm counted on as the back line of the defense, you know, the communication, all these different things. it just kept dragging on and on and on. Pick and roll coverages, defensive transition. So it was a lot of up and back, you know, Spo calls it Hunger Games. You know, you're either win or lose. If you lose, you're running. So it was just over and over and over and over. And by the end of it, I was dead ass tired. But I wasn't, you know, I'm never going to give in because, number one, I want to be a great example for our young guys. But number two, I want our team to excel. So a few guys got called out. I won't mention them by name. It was highly, highly competitive and a worthwhile practice because it's just, it's understood. We are going to figure this out one way or another. You better fall in line. You better love Heat culture and you better be ready to rock and roll every single day. So I can't even remember, you know, the exact time frame, but it was somewhere around the late February. And it was, and those are some of the dog days anyway, right? We were just getting back from All-Star, yeah, and it was like, we got to get this. So it can be difficult, but it's doable.
I have two more logistical bubble questions for you. How long is the walk from your hotel room to your team's meal room?
It's not bad, actually. Let me think about this. I got long strides. Let me see. Yeah, we have six elevators and they're quick, which is sometimes an issue on the road. You know, we'll say we got a team meeting and two of the elevators are taken and there's only three. You better be going down early. So I would say it probably takes, and I got to map this out in my head. Get downstairs. 4 minutes max.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. No. There are people who have a long walk. Second question, are there plates, like real, like proper China plates in the meal room?
No.
All to go. Okay.
When we arrive, they're in big, like enclosed containers that are basically keeping the heat in. And it's just stacked by what the options are. There's a menu at the top of it. And then there's like, say yesterday was like, chicken Philly cheesesteaks, and then there was the vegetables, and then like another section. So basically it's just packable meals that are being kept, you know, warm there in our meal room.
Do you have a balcony in your hotel room?
I do not. I actually have a beautiful view of a parking lot.
This is the great divide amongst teams, is balcony people versus not balcony people. I've heard so much balcony envy phone conversations, like people showing off their balconies on Instagram, people who don't have balconies. It's a real, you know, I feel like it's a real issue. A balcony would be quite nice.
I would have to admit a balcony would be nice, right? Step outside, get a little sun, feel the breeze. Whereas I'm staring at a parking lot, but it definitely, I can't remember which one of my teammates had said it, but he said, man, I just got off FaceTime with one of my former teammates. I got to admit, the balconies are dope, but we're staying in the bus hotel. And for me personally, I have great internet. So that's all I really need.
Great internet. When people ask me to rank what matters to me in a hotel, it's internet and just everything else is way below it. I could be at a flea bag somewhere if it had the best Wi-Fi versus I'm at the Four Seasons where I've never stayed at the Four Seasons and the Wi-Fi sucked. Give me the flea bag. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. Internet is so damn important.
Here's my video game question for you. And I'm old. Okay, I'm 42 years old. You're, what are you, 27, 28?
28.
Have people your age played the original Nintendo 64 GoldenEye?
Yes.
Are you familiar with this game?
That's like right on the cusp of where I was growing up. GoldenEye, to be frank with you, we didn't have anything growing up. But some of our friends, luckily, you know, when you want to play video games, you just go to their house. So GoldenEye was right there as I was a youngster, probably, man, how I don't know, 10 years old maybe? You know, it was still a very popular game even through the years. So I have played GoldenEye on Nintendo 64. But for me, it was really PlayStation 1 on. And now once I got to college, it was Xbox because all my buddies had it, so I can continue to communicate.
No, I stopped. My video game career ended about then, and GoldenEye is the most fun I've ever had playing video games. I can't even tell you how revolutionary it felt when you first played it. Uh-huh. All my life since then, Myers Leonard, I have been chasing. Some people chase the feeling they get when they do drugs. Some people chase the feeling they get when they, you know, win a bet or something.
Sure.
All my life I've been chasing the feeling when you drop a proximity mine and like 6 minutes later, one of your friends runs into it and blows up. I've been chasing that feeling for 20 years. Still, can't find it.
Hey, listen, video games bring excitement, so hey, I can't blame you.
Have we, last, before I let you go, have we missed anything on the bubble that you want to say? Is there some element of it that surprised you? Is there some little quirky thing that is annoying? Have we missed anything? Good Wi-Fi, good game. It seems like it's going okay for you.
It's been good. One thing that I would say for me personally, on the, unfortunately, as I already mentioned, my wife and I are going to miss our anniversary, so that makes me pretty upset. But again, I have a job to do. And then anything else, like logistically? Man, I don't think so. Other than the fact that I don't have my three monitors that I'm accustomed to streaming with, so I can't read chat and pull up internet, everything I need and right there in front of me. But no, I don't think so. And the hair, I think we mentioned that, but it's
no. Yeah, the white hair is gone. Your white hair, I don't even know what color it was, honestly. I don't know if it was white. It seemed to have a tinge of green in certain lights. I don't know what you were going for. It matched your dog. Who has become an internet celebrity. So it's now gone. And honestly, like, I feel like that's a bad omen for the Heat, to be true. I thought you were going to bring that hair into the first round of the playoffs and it was going to help you.
Fair enough. Let me just say this. The hair was initially blonde, but then the second round of bleach that you have to do to get your roots blonde, the hair on top is already blonde, so therefore it became a little more like platinum.
Sure, as everybody knows, Myers, yeah, obviously.
Of course.
You know,
and actually, I should state, this came from the fact that I dyed my hair pink and blue, half and half, because of the money I raised for COVID. So I would say that I have a leg up on anybody who has anything negative to say about it, because I couldn't – it's easier to bleach your hair than try to go back to your normal color after – dyeing it pink and blue, for crying out loud.
Have you said what you're going to wear on your jersey? Are you wearing anything on your jersey?
I am. I'm wearing Equality.
Okay. All right. Myers Leonard, go back to whatever it is you're going to do for the next X hours until your next team activity. It's been fun having you on. Stay safe in the bubble. Good luck to the Heat, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon.
Zach, I appreciate it, man.
People, season 8 of 30 for 30 podcast is here. It's called Heavy Metals Inside the Karoli Gymnastics Empire. Whoa, boy. It's a groundbreaking 7-part podcast series that takes listeners on a deep dive into the lives and influence of Bella and Martha Karoli, the most successful and controversial coaches in USA gymnastics history. To listen to the trailer, subscribe now to the 30 for 30 podcast feed on Apple Podcasts. The whole season drops Tuesday, July 14th on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.